At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America has gotten kind of whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. It's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week the week in politics, like we're recapping the week in reality TV.
I miss regular non-news TV. While you were out of town, I was just like, fuck you, oh Rachel Maddow. Fuck you, Lawrence O'Donnell. I mean, I tried to like catch up quickly yesterday. And I was watching the news, like, but weekend news is whack, you know what I mean? But I was watching it in the,
A recap of other news.
Yeah, and it's the hosts are, although I like that handsome Asian guy, but that's
point. With you the little gray wisp.
Yeah, he's like a very,
what's his name?
He kind of looks like a pan-Asian JFK type.
Yeah. Oh, good one. God, he does.
So he, but I don't know where to find him. On the weekends, they just switch around and it's whatever.
What a great job.
So I was doing laundry in my living room and the news is on and I'm just like, whatever. And I walk into the bedroom to like put the laundry away. And my TV had been on in the bedroom and was on mute, like whatever I was watching in the morning, like before I left. Sometimes I don't like committing to turning off the TV. God knows why.
Oh, I'm like that too. I'll keep both TVs on.
Yeah, and I just put it on mute.
Yep.
So I walk in and the TV's on mute and it's on soccer. And I'm so desperate to see people living a life that's not scripted or news, because I don't get to watch enough reality TV now, that I'm standing holding like a stack of my underwear, standing in front of my TV, staring at like soccer. On a mute, idiots playing soccer. And I'm like, And I'm like, oh, he's mad about something. Oh, okay. Look, that's like, you know, that person's mom. And I'm just looking at people's lives.
Were they American or was it European?
It was very South American or something. I kept thinking if I put unmuted, none of it will even be in English. And I still was like riveted. And I'm like, that's how much I don't want to watch news.
Well, that's a deep a deep hate of news. Yeah, I mean,
do you want to tell the children about? It's not a hate of news. It's just a exhaustion. It's a fatigue. News fatigue.
No, watch the news now that we're doing the podcast. I'll do it Saturday through Monday, and then I'm off Tuesday through Friday.
Oh, that's good.
Unless I like have weekday to. News. I mean, you know, sometimes whatever, it pops in and out, but I can't.
I do almost the opposite. I like news shows. Like, I like Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
MSNBC between, like, I guess 4 and 7, I find comforting. And then on the weekends, because I don't have Housewives every night. Jacques and I don't have Housewives every night. So I have to, like, go and I can watch The Kardashians. That's off right now. The Challenge is ended, and now it's a dumber MTV Challenge. But I don't really have anything. So I watch the news during the week, and then on the weekends, it'll be, like, movies or binge watching whatever thing.
Right. I do like Stephanie Ruhle, though. I do have to say. I know. I do like to wake up for her.
Yeah.
Because, ooh, I know she's got Pinot in that mug.
Yeah. You want to wake up for her and to her with her big old titty. Tell the children about Seattle.
Okay, basically we had to cancel Seattle due to some logistical problems, but we're rescheduling it. We're not canceling it entirely. It's being rescheduled. We're trying to get the mayor or the governor there who's gay, and they're just not available. And it's the same time as Pride, and
we had a full girls weekend planned with Linda James, with a man named Linda James.
That's
so
right.
And unfortunately now Linda will be there, so you guys will have your girls weekend, and people can walk up to you all day and all night and say, excuse me ma'am, can you help me sir, or however it goes. Excuse me sir, do you have any money I could borrow, ma'am? Miss, excuse me miss, do you have any extra money sir? I don't even know what it is.
Do you have a dollar I can borrow, sir?
But
Well, that's unfortunate. I mean, yeah, so it's unfortunate, but, you know, just this, we're just, you know, it's got to be your
schedule. So
Seattle
is canceled. Portland Queer is still on. Julie's going to perform her own stand-up. I'm going to host a few shows, and we have the live podcast.
Yes, and the live podcast, I believe, is the 21st at 3 p.m. I don't think the schedule's up, but I was told that in, you know, by the producer.
Okay.
But I know that... that's absolutely on, and that's being promoted. And
we've gotten a lot of questions about that. So the 20, what month?
It's July 20th or 21st is the, and I'm not sure which day, but I know that it's Saturday. Whatever the Saturday is, 3 p.m. podcast. Brandy's hosting the straight show at 7:30. I'm doing the headliner show at 7:30. Brandy's hosting the straight show at 9. And that's all in one day.
And then after that, we are smoking our way through Portland, and Julie's going to mash her way through all the box in Portland.
Oh,
we're going to be trolling for drugs on the streets, looking for
people
with big holes in their ears. What are those things called?
Oh, gouges.
Gauges. Yeah. Because there are a lot in Portland. They have
when
one.
When there's a gauge, there's someone who's
there's
been
a way.
Lost.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So if you haven't yet, please go to our Patreon. We'll never stop bothering you at the beginning of the show. So
never stop, never back down on the Patreon. On the Patreon. Never back down on the Patreon.
If you could see her dancing.
On the Patreon.
She has stiff, tiny arm dancing going.
Yeah.
We won't. And so if you don't like it, here's a little tip for you. On the top of your iPhone, there's a little circle and it has a 15 in the middle, and I didn't know until Julie taught me. Now on Sirius, if you're a Sirius subscriber, immediately cancel that and sign up for our Patreon. But if you are subscribers to both, on Sirius you can only rewind with the 15 second circle, but on iTunes and on your iPhone you can fast forward 15 seconds. So anytime we're talking about something you don't like, or there's, you know, anything, Dumpling, don't walk on that laptop. Don't you do it. Just push that 15 second. Don't say, ugh, I'm out of here, I'm going to go listen to like a podcast I like better. No, just go 15, 15, 15, 15, 15 until we're through whatever shit you don't want to hear. Just a tip. It works on all podcasts, and it's a life tip, and it'll really enhance your time.
I like to do it in my own mind as I'm talking to people in person. In my mind, I press a 15 forward in my head.
You become dependent on it. The fact I can't do it on Sirius really bugs. Really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes, like on Howard Stern, I'll be like, I don't want to hear this phony phone call.
Yeah, there's a lot I like to fast forward on there, but you can't, I guess.
So if you want, go to www.patreon.com. We have 2 free episodes of our Patreon podcast. It's an hour long. It's fun and, you know, zany, if you will.
Zany.
I don't know that
it's outrageous.
It's actually not zany at all. I don't even know.
Inappropriate. It's irreverent.
And you know what?
Edgy.
Meow meow, you're going to read a message that we got from Renee Denuso, who will...
Renee Denuso, by the way, by the wow, sounds like a character from Laverne and Shirley. And I mean that as a compliment.
It's like Fonzie. Nope, he's on...
Didn't they have a neighbor named someone D'Annunzio or something?
It was Laverne and Shirley and Shaggy and
Shaggy.
It was Shaggy and what the fuck was that other guy's name? Lenny and Squiggy.
Yeah, Shaggy.
Shaggy was on Scooby-Doo. Who knows? Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, this is from Renee D'Annunzio. Dear Julie and Brandy, I have been a listener since the first episode of DGP, but I'm brand new to the Patreon feed.
This is why I'm it's relevant to all you out there.
For anyone who hasn't
joined
Patreon. Who are
dragging your feet on it. Renee will tell you. Renee is telling you now.
I have to say, I like the Patreon feed better than the regular show. Oh, solely because the state of the world today makes me so infuriated and depressed that I just hide out in my house endlessly playing Candy Crush and rewatching Parks and Rec.
Hold. Renee, that sounds a lot like me, only replace Parks and Rec with Rachel Maddow, and I never put down the Candy Crush. The worst part is doing this podcast because I can't crush it the whole time during the podcast.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
We crush it nonstop. Okay, over here.
Okay, just making sure that's still recording since Dumpling is sitting on it. I can't handle the political climate, but you guys really do make it better. You are two of the realest bitches there ever was. I may or may not be using that term correctly, as I'm a white woman rapidly approaching 40 and have no idea about slang past 1997. You both have no problems with telling your lives with fierce truth and abandon, and I fucking love it. Woo!
Isn't that great?
Thank you.
Renee just joined the Patreon, and she likes it better than the regular, and I didn't even take that as a I took it as an honest. It took her forever to join, clearly, because we've had the Patreon since August. And she finally joined and found she likes it better. So for all of you out there that, you know, want an extra hour a week, we're just trying to say go for it, man. Live your life. Hey. Live your dreams. Never gonna stop.
It's on Patreon.
You already forgot the song?
Yeah.
I thought you were.
I forgot it already. How did it go?
I was like, never gonna stop hounding
yeah, so
you.
Or forgot to.
No, because, well, I thought you were.
24/7, never gonna stop with the Patreon. It's a different kind of song. 24/7, never gonna stop with the Patreon. I can't remember literally moment to moment.
Well, we see that.
yeah. So.
Okay, well, let's get to Eye of the Shitstorm.
You should take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
Even though the news wanted everyone to think that the Eye of the Shitstorm was a vulgar remark about John McCain that one of Trump's aides said in a closed meeting that was then leaked to the Times, but we don't need to worry our tiny little heads about it because the apology cops are all over that shit. That's right. That is right. I mean, oh, she better be fired.
Why isn't she apologizing?
Why isn't
the White House issuing an apology?
Who would possibly live in this kind of climate? Who can work in this sort of... In this atmosphere, I mean, what kind of boss allows someone to speak like that?
And
oh,
why
I don't
not
know.
Just simply apologize?
Why not apologize? Right, Meghan McCain? They need to be fired, right, Meghan? Right?
At least it was about her dad. There's 1,000 other people demanding apologies on their behalf. And I'm like, okay, well.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, okay. The real shitstorm is that Trump pulled out of Iran. And I mean, he pulled his tiny dick right out of Iran.
The Iran deal.
The Iran deal is what I mean. That deal, you know? Iran, that deal.
One of them deals.
And that then caused an international shitstorm.
It's a shitstorm here that then caused an international shitstorm. Mm. So I would say that we chose the correct shitstorm. And
I would say
that a vulgar remark doesn't really constitute a shitstorm. So there's probably a Middle Eastern Julian Brandy doing the Middle Eastern version of this podcast and talking about this same shit.
Death to America. We don't like it. No, yeah, right. We do. We have to do it from here because we cannot be seen with our faces in streets.
So I don't know shit about this. And honestly, you lost me at Iran. So I absolutely cannot pay attention to international war games. I know it's potentially life threatening to all of us. But on the real, I think it's so fucking boring. I mean, even if it was like, they could come here tomorrow, they could nuke us tomorrow. I'm like, snore, what is Nini up to? So the most interesting part of this story to me is that Obama got us into the Iran deal in 2015 and Trump just took us out. So we're here to have Meow Meow, who loves anything Middle Eastern, to to clue us all in. So I'm just going to say while you get gear up your...
I'm ready.
The original Iran deal was between the United States, United Kingdom, Russia, France, China, Germany, and the European Union, and Iran. We know it's probably pronounced Iran, but because of the fact that I don't want to say Iraq, I'm more comfortable saying Iraq. I'm perfectly comfortable saying Iran, but I don't like saying Iraq. So I need to say now Iran and Iraq, because that's where I'm just going to live.
Yeah.
So, and I don't care if a Hispanic person or a Mexican person comes along and says, Huli, I think that's cute. Or Yuli, I think that's, or my friend Jojo, when sometimes the Armenian waxer would say Gigi, and I thought that was cute. I don't care. So I'm hoping no one cares if I say Iran with my American flat accent.
Yeah, I guess some people would mind, but I don't really know why, being that I can't say every word. Right. I mean, it's, you know, come on.
Yeah. We don't care. It's 15 minutes, okay? We're not like, excuse me, but.
It's 15 minutes, okay?
So the deal stated that Iran would redesign, convert, and reduce its nuclear facilities and accept additional protocol in order to lift all nuclear-related economic sanctions, freeing up tens of billions of dollars in oil revenue and frozen assets. So all the countries got together and they made this deal that Trump just announced.
He's pulling out of.
Yeah. Your block cupcake. He's done with it.
Right. Now, the most egregious part of it, I think, well, first of all, yes, like, but I mean, what else is there really to say? He pulled out of the deal, and you just explained what the deal was. Now,
there is something to say is, like, why did he pull out of it?
I literally would type into Google, why doesn't Trump like the Iran deal? And you cannot find a direct answer.
All I saw was the deal was decaying and rotten, despite reports that Iran had been complying with it. That's all I saw.
Because you can't get a straight answer as to why the deal was bad. And you can't get one because the deal wasn't bad. The deal was good. The deal. You know why the deal's bad? Because Obama made it. That's why the deal was bad.
And he's been hating on it. Trump has been hating on it since 2015.
And I don't even think he understood it, nor because there's no reason for it to be bad other than the fact that he wants to somehow top Iran. You know what I mean? In the dick contest of the world. And or there's definitely things that we don't know that are going on with Russia and China, who are also in business with Iran. I mean, Russia's like fucking supplying Iran with money left, right, and center.
Yeah.
So we don't entirely know why Trump wanted to pull out of it. He keeps saying it's not good, it's not good. But I couldn't find anything anywhere to show that it wasn't any good.
Right.
And they have inspections literally every week to go to the facility to see that they're complying, and they are.
And it all did was get us in the fight with all these superpowers. And then we pull out and then tell everyone else, if you keep dealing with them economically, if you keep trading with them, if you keep shipping your Volkswagens over there, we're going to slap sanctions on you. And I'm like, why are you getting us in a fight with everyone? So and you said he's trying to push a war.
Well, because that to me was when John Bolton was on
Meet the Press.
State of the Union. John Bolton, who
State of the Union.
Should get run over by a construction vehicle and put into cement into a bridge and never seen
again.
Tell
him who John Bolton is.
John Bolton is the national security advisor. He's the guy with the big fluffy mustache who...
When I heard his voice, I can say, honestly, it was the most surprising voice I've heard.
Well, he should be involved with these countries because he's sort of giving you like that kind of voice.
His voice sounded like someone 20 years younger than him that looked like... would look like... Anderson Cooper or Chris Hayes. It was like he looks like Yosemite Sam, and his voice came out sounding like Chris Hayes. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very weird. Very concerning.
The grossest thing that they're doing is I got into an Iran K-hole before we got into this, because there's a whole... Iran was a great country. Like, it's got really rich history, and there was, I mean, thousands of years, and blah, 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 and Persia, and the whole thing, and yam, yam, yam. And if you look into it, it's super interesting, and whatever. Until you get into the Iranian Revolution, and in the 70s, and that's why we have all the Jews here, and the Shahs of Sunset, and whatever... Like, it was, they had a good economy. They had a Shah that was, like, somewhat westernized and wanted to live with everyone and have a normal, like, lifestyle. And was an acquaintance, if not friendly, to Israel. And ultimately, what a lot of this has to do is with Israel. So,
because really everything does, if we go right down
to the Middle East.
Well, and I also mean that's where Jesus came from. So really, we're all
right.
We're all just descendants of Israel,
right? But of course, most of the Middle Eastern countries don't want Israel to exist at all, and. So then Iran went through this huge revolution. They kicked out all the Jews, and then this it's horrible, and it's now it's these factions and blah, blah, blah. And now we're in a situation where we finally have to come to this deal so they wouldn't have a nuclear weapon and fucking bomb Israel and bomb us and blah, 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 blah. So then we have it. Trump pulls out, even though that he had all the shit that was going great. And now you're going to tell all these other countries that if they keep working with them,
yeah.
that you're going to get fucked as well. And it's like that. Is the grossest part. That's what people really need to understand is that Trump and Bolton are telling other countries that they also what they can do.
Yeah, but like, when you like talk Europe, like England, like
yeah,
I mean,
and
on.
Bolton was on saying like no, and Jake Tapper was like, oh, you know, I've talked to diplomats and stuff, and they're not really feeling it. They actually want to keep in the deal because they think the deal's good. And then John Bolton's like, well, they think that now. They just don't understand the scope and the landscape of what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
And what he means is the scope and the landscape is that you are going to tell them, like a mob, like the mafia,
right. mm-hmm.
we have a deal for you that you can't refuse. Literally, we have a deal for you you can't refuse. That's what's going on. It's mafia-style yeah. fucking diplomacy.
And this is a good moment to play Bernie Sanders, because after Jake Tapper interviewed John Bolton, the national security advisor, about how they're pulled out of Iran, everyone's mad at us. Jake then interviewed Bernie Sanders. And for me, I wanted to play this because it was pretty profound, the entire statement. And it got stuck so deep in my psyche that it was one of the most influential things I've heard for sure in 2018. Like I was pretty like definitely influencing like my approach to like where I think politics should go. Like Bernie Sanders is, you know, he's very idealistic. And so that appeals to that part of me, but at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I found it very profound.
And it's not for nothing for people to know that within a week of pulling out of the Iran deal, Iran then did send a bomb to Israel. So
wow.
Just so people, you know, wow. And now look what's going on. I mean, everything's connected. It's not connected.
No, of course.
A bomb goes in Israel, and then they put the thing in Jerusalem, and then and now, oh, well, we had more jobs in China. Like, and you know what every road leads back to? Russia.
Exactly.
I disagree with John on a whole lot, but I will give him credit for chutzpah. This is a man who was a key advisor to President Bush, George W. Bush, in urging him to get involved and to invade Iraq because supposedly Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. As I think most Americans now know, that effort in Iraq was the worst foreign policy disaster in the modern history of this country. We lost 4,400 American soldiers, brave soldiers, 31,000 wounded, 500,000 Iraqis dead. And then Bolton talks about, appropriately so, the increased influence that Iran now has in Iraq. Yeah, that's true. And that's precisely because of the war in Iraq. So I think you have some people, unfortunately, in Washington, Bolton being one of them, who believe that war and militarism is the answer to everything. We have spent over $2 trillion in the wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and yet today our infrastructure here in the United States is crumbling. We have millions of people can't afford to go to college or are leaving college deeply in debt. Maybe, just maybe, we might want to be investing in the American people rather than inflated military budgets and more wars.
I love it so much. From first putting him on blast, throwing the shade of the century, like, you fucking were part of the fake weapons of mass destruction catastrophe. Yeah. Like, one of the most embarrassing things to happen in modern history, and you're part of it. And then, yeah, just the overall overarching theme of, like, I mean, I don't remember what I was looking at. It just happened to me prior to even hearing this. It was, like, sometime over the weekend. I honestly cannot remember. Maybe it was, I don't even remember. It's not important, but it just occurred to me, like, I saw something. I don't know if it was like a pothole or like, and I know where I live, Burbank, there's just Burbank. We heard from this poll guy, like a pollster. Remember that guy we met?
Yes,
he said Burbank was like struggling financially. And I just thought to myself before I even heard that, like, we're spending all this money and we're not even, I mean, there's, our schools are like falling apart. Nobody can get educated unless you have the money to pay for an education. And it's, and the whole drama with like DACA and all that stuff, like the whole argument over immigration, it's like people who are literally from immigrants, like John Kelly himself.
And Tommy Lahren.
Whoever it is who come directly from immigrants who didn't speak English will say they don't want, you know, Mexican immigrants to come in because they don't speak English and to assimilate. And I'm like, you know, they would be able to assimilate, though, if we had schools that could assimilate anyone. Yeah. Even American children cannot get a fucking education if they live in Inglewood or South Central or like a depressed economy. And it's like, fucking, I don't want to spend even $20 million besides $1 trillion. I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars on a defense budget to go get involved in other people's shit and like just fix one school.
Right. And when you know that those wars are being fought anyway just for oil and for the top 1%, may I sound like Bernie, the top 1% to make their money. And John Bolton is specifically, and we talked about it before, and this is the problem with him, is that all he wants is war.
Yeah.
And now we have Pompeo, Bolton, Trump, like the they all want...
They're warmongers.
They're all warmongers.
Yeah. And it's not good, you guys. And, you know, I come and from like a, my dad is a conservative, like Republican. He doesn't care about, again, like social issues. He doesn't care about same-sex marriage. He's not religious. He's nothing. And you know what? Sadly, he's not rich. But the reason he's Republican is because he cares about, like, he was in the army and he cares about the military. And there's people who, you know, who stay Republican because they know that Democrats will take all the money and, you know, give it to people who don't want to work, lazy people, that all that old school thinking. And it's just, you know, I mean, I guess we're not going to be able to change old people's minds, but we've got to like change our own bogged down thinking like that. Like, it's not, we've got to like modernize and like our thinking when it comes to that.
I just don't understand why, if you look at all the wars historically, what brings you to think that another one is a good idea? Like, haven't you learned?
They think that if we get stuck here and we take all of our budget and we fix the infrastructure and we fix up schools and suddenly we're walking around and we're like Sweden and everyone looks like a model and no one's fat and everyone's educated and we pay high taxes, we're going to get stuck in a situation where we don't have any weapons and we don't have an army that can fight and we're vulnerable to a situation. Or even if another Hitler happens, even though it probably is and it's probably Putin and we're probably partners with him, exactly. We won't be able to get involved that way. And they don't want to be vulnerable. They're scared. They come from a place of fear. And it's, and like I said, and maybe they're right, but I'd rather them be proven right than sit here and watch the whole country just where the rich get obscenely richer. And even like just the regular people, the middle classes aren't even going to exist anymore. And I mean, that stuff, all those theories are true. And it's sad. And it's fucked up. But let's get out of the Middle East and head on over to Primary Street.
Ooh. Can you tell me how to get to Primary Street? How to get to Primary Street? How do I get to Primary Street? All right.
That was pretty.
Thank you so much. So the second Trump got elected and Republicans took control of the entire government, the countdown began to the 2018 midterm elections. 2018 midterm elections, because that's how Democrats can take back over the House and Senate. Well, it's 2018 and it's happening. The mother load. And who doesn't love a big load?
I just knew you were going to say that and think
I love saying load. I said load so many times on the road this week and nobody cared.
Yeah.
It's happening in November.
The mother load's happening in November. The big election.
The big election, right. But they started trickling out in March with the mall creeper, Roy Moore, and all that bullshit. And there are a few more last week. And there are several more happening today.
That's right. Okay, so the ones happening now are primaries in certain states, right, Meow Meow?
Right.
So that means people are competing to represent their party, to be their party's nominee. So like when Obama and Hillary competed, I like to think of it like it's a gymnastics event. So Obama won that one. or when Bernie and Hillary competed, and yes. then Hillary won that one.
Right.
So those were primaries. So the news is all hot to trot over these primaries. They're like state and local primaries, because everyone wants to see if the resistance movement, if you will, can do anything more than put on a pussy hat and march down a fucking street.
And we won't really know that for sure until the actual midterms in November. But last week, there were primaries in Indiana, North Carolina, and West Virginia. So right now, each of those states have senators that are Democrats, but they are not a shoo-in for re-election. And the Republicans are putting a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of energy to making sure they get their best possible candidate through the primary process so they don't end up with another Roy Moore on their hands.
Exactly. So you guys remember Roy Moore. We talked about him in the live podcast. He's that guy with the cowboy hat who would creep down at the malls and get with 13-year-olds and date them and ask permission from their parents who'd give the permission. So this is exactly what was about to happen, though. It was going to be a new Roy Moore, and it was going to be in West Virginia, a state when you think of progressives, that's what you think of.
Mm-hmm, just an sure
evolutionary wonder, if you will.
When I think of freedom, I think of West Virginia.
So basically, there was this guy, Don Blankenship, and he was this fucking hillbilly rube that no one in their right mind would ever vote for, okay? So, but he started gaining points and traction in the polls because he created this insanely racist, ignorant campaign ad. And of course, a ton of disgusting creatures cooking crystal meth in motel coffee pots in West Virginia jumped on right on board with Don Blankenship and his weird shit.
Normally, the corrupt GOP wouldn't care what the dude said, and actually, they don't care what he said. Most of the Republican politicians in the South are racist twats anyway. The problem is that he was watering down the Republican vote and making it easier for the Democrat, Joe Manchin, to hang on to his seat.
So, like, you know, the Republicans don't want Joe Manchin and whoever, there's another one in, like, maybe Indiana that they're... It's right in the middle of Trump country, so they feel sure that they're going to get a Republican to replace those Democrats because all those people voted strongly for Trump. So they were so worried that this Don Blankenship would win the primary that even they made Trump tweet, "The great people of West Virginia, we have together a really great chance to keep making a big difference. The problem is Don Blankenship, currently running for Senate, can't win the general election in your state. No way. Remember Alabama?" Oh, I don't know why it says Alabama when it was, I think it's West Virginia. It wasn't Alabama, was it? Well, whatever.
It's West Virginia.
Yeah. Remember West
Well, that would
Virginia?
Be great
I don't
if
even
said,
get
it.
He probably
said
did
that.
Say Alabama because like, I thought amazing. I cut and paste it.
Hilarious.
Vote for Rep Jenkins or Attorney General Morrissey. So actually, this election already happened last week, and the Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, ended up winning. But this idiot, Don Blankenship, still came in third.
Wow.
With 20% of the vote. So we want to play you his ad campaign, which got this motherfucker 28,000 people in West Virginia to vote for him. 28,000. We have 14 listeners of this podcast. This motherfucker got 28,000 people to vote for him.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
Oh, if only Mitch McConnell did do cocaine, I'd like him a lot
more.
No
kidding.
I can tell you that.
I got a world during. You have to watch the video.
I've seen it.
Not you, but everyone. You have to. He's frightening. The children he holds at the end, also frightening. I hate to say it, but you need to.
From having seen it, which is incredible, just because the directing is also weirdly like close up, far. But just listening to it here from the other side of the laptop, listening to it is, it's got its own special, very special charm.
China people. China family. China people. China family.
Swamp. Cocaine Mitch.
I mean, when you, he's so conservative, he doesn't even like Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah,
does everyone really take, I need everyone to
tell
grasp
who Mitch McConnell is.
Mitch McConnell is the Speaker of the House, the majority leader. He's the guy that everyone calls Mitch McTurtle. He's the one who,
he is married to She's Chinese.
She's Chinese, Elaine and Wong. An immigrant. Her family were immigrants, and they came
she's
in. And they,
the head of transportation,
and they had
part of the reason the infrastructure is falling down.
Yes. And the family was they had a little scandal, which is that they apparently they're doing a little. They did a little transportation of a little bit of cocaine in their in their company, allegedly. So you know that's why he calls him Cocaine Mitch. But I'm just the fact that he. Mitch McConnell is super conservative. Like, he's also
completely
nothing, hates Obama, not letting anything through, hated Obamacare,
hates immigrants.
I mean, the guy is super conservative. This guy is more conservative than Mitch McConnell is calling him Cocaine Mitch.
He's
and
not
swamp.
Even a conservative, this person. He's a backwoods. He's like, he's going to butt fuck you near a tree.
He's fucking those two kids he's holding at the end of his thing. Come for it. Bring it, Don Blankenship, allegedly.
So, now, the other one I was talking about, that was West Virginia, who they're concerned about their Democratic seat, which they hold. The other one is Indiana. They have a Democratic senator now. No one thinks he'll keep a seat because of Mike Pence, because Mike shit-faced Pence comes from Indiana, in case you guys forgot, and all of his Jesus cronies. They are so up Mike Pence's nuts in Indiana, meow meow, that his shady $2 older brother got voted as the nominee for the House of Representatives in Indiana. He has no political experience. He owns 2 antique malls, because that's just something you do in Indiana. And not only that, he's being investigated because he had some kind of shady business practice where he used to like be the head of a convenience store chain that filed for bankruptcy. And reportedly committed $8.4 million of environmental damage, which they covered up when they were leaking underground storage tanks.
Whoa.
In addition to being a political neophyte, he's also a corrupt, shady asshole. And the people, and they do, like, a lot of people, even though Indiana, he's gonna immediately walk right into Congress. I mean, like, open the doors of Congress in November, for sure. But a lot of people aren't really feeling outside of Indiana, the Pence is going down like with the Kennedys. Nobody needs the Pences turning
how
into like
about the Pence dynasty. We're gonna have a Pence dynasty. Yeah. Is this the next Camelot? Oh, I'm looking at a picture
it's
of him.
So tragic, absolutely, utterly tragic. Like fucking nepotism at its worst. So in North Carolina, their incumbent House representative was beat out by a Baptist minister named Mark Paris, who opposes same-sex marriage. North Carolina, I was considering moving to you. I'm going to put that on hold.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But we all know that Asheville, North Carolina is apparently an incredible place to go.
I'm sure there's lots of great places in North Carolina. Beautiful. But Obama goes there all the time. Today, there are primaries in 4 more states: Pennsylvania, Oregon, Nebraska, and Idaho.
Oh, it's just in Idaho and Oregon.
Next, that's why you saw so many ads.
That's why
there.
I saw so many ads. And I watched a lot of crazy commercials, too, when I was in my home.
Yeah.
Motels.
That's why I said that people sitting in motels making crystal meth in West Virginia were like, hey, I like that guy.
And let me tell you for a fact, they were making crystal meth in every single hotel that I was in Oregon and Idaho.
If you guys ever stayed in motels, Utah. Like in motels, and I don't know that anyone stays in motels, like, let me make myself a hot cup of joe. You're not really supposed to use the coffee pot because that's what they use to make the crystal meth.
Oh, they were definitely making it there. And I can tell you, I watched, for example, like Faith, family, Faith, working, hard working, Faith, family, manhood, guys. Doing stuff, guns.
White people,
white people.
Yeah, whites.
My name is John Whiteman, and I'm running for whatever. I'm just doing it because I hate blacks, Jews, and gays. And I am running. Why? Because I run a ranch and I kill stuff. I love killing. I could kill all day, could kill all night. I just like doing it because it's good work.
I don't kill white stuff though.
Except white people don't kill them unless they're gay and or Jews. But technically speaking, white people aren't gay or Jewish. They're just white.
Next Tuesday, there will be primaries in Texas, Kentucky, Georgia, and Arkansas. Now, the California primaries are on June 5th, and these will be...
I just got my booklet.
I know. That's what I was going to say. And these are going to be crucial because California offers like some of the biggest opportunities for Democrats to take back the House, given changing demographics, the decline of the Republican Party, and policy. Two of the most vulnerable Republicans, Ed Royce in the 39th district and Daryl Issa in the 49th, they have already announced they're not seeking reelection. We've obviously got to replace Devin Nunes, whoever's in fucking Bakersfield or up north in California, whoever has Devin Nunes' area, get that fucking motherfucker out of there. And most importantly, I just wanted to say, don't ignore your dorky voter's guide, because it seems like it's just local. Check and make sure you don't have a state race in there. And if you don't want a deal, just make the effort to go to the polls and vote party lines Democrat. Normally, I would never, ever, ever recommend or even do that myself. I really don't. I'm a registered independent. I don't fucking care about that.
This is crazy. This is happening right now. Everyone.
We think party lines are bullshit and voting party lines are bullshit. But this year it's crucial. And we have to beat. Well, you do. You don't. Oh, yeah. Lee. I thought you said we. Yeah, exactly. Lee, you motherfucker. But this year it's crucial, and we have to beat them at their own game and expose the corruption. So just walk down or drive down to wherever your dumb polling center is at some high school that smells like feet, and go and just Democrat, 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 and just put it behind you.
Yeah, good one.
You have
You're
to.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Don't try and get cute and be like, I'm libertarians this
year. Right, it's still just a two-party system, and I don't want to. Yeah. Why can't we change it? So yeah. It's not changing this year.
Yeah, not
okay?
This year. We got to.
So
we gotta
get into it.
We got to get crucial.
It's Democrat or nothing. Yeah. Literally, if you come, if I swear to God, don't fucking come to me talking about.
And me and Julie don't do that. We've told you our philosophy is we go like this. We read the names. If we can tell someone's black, first we go, who's Democrat, who's Republican, and we see if there's a woman.
Correct.
Now, if it's both men, let's say, we then go, can we tell if someone's black?
Yes.
If we can't tell, then we'll go, can we tell if someone's any other race?
Hispanic, yeah, or anything. Some sort of thing.
Okay. So then after that, we'll go like, okay, well, now maybe we can tell one's Asian, but the Asian one's Republican and the Democrat one's white. So then we'll go,
Tough one, yeah.
But if it's the...
I go Democrat.
But... Yeah, I think I'm...
Sorry.
If the Republican was Mexican, though, I might go Mexican. But then we would know we'd get screwed like Devin Nunes. So now, yeah. I don't know. We try to just do it like that, but we're not going to this year. We're Democrat
racial
all the way.
Racial profiling, trying to do it right.
We gender profile too. Oh, I also I'll do age. I'll be like, oh, someone's name's Wilbur and someone's name Hunter. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely do gender profiling.
I do gender,
profiling.
Age, and race.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We go against trying to have another fucking white bugger in there.
It's true.
It's the last thing anyone needs. And we don't need another man. So.
These words you're saying. Ooh, it's exciting.
Anyways, that's what we want to tell you guys, and it's real. That's why we did this boring primary street. And now we're going to leave it, and we're going to take a little visit to the ladies' room. Mm.
Now it's time for the ladies' room. We usually use this segment to celebrate or highlight women, but today we're slightly confused in the ladies' room.
And it's all because of Gina Haspel, old torture queen Gina Haspel. So Gina Haspel is Trump's nominee to be the new head of the CIA. She would be replacing the former head of the CIA, who Trump moved over to Secretary of State to replace Rex Tillerson. So that's a lot of names replacing names. But for this segment, we're going to ignore the sausage fest and focus on Gina Haspel.
Oh, God. It's just, you know, like I've said before, Trump has found the worst women to be alive in this century. Yep. And it's giving them jobs. The Senate has been having hearings all week with Gina Haspel, trying to confirm her. Confirm she's a fucking bitch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's been done confirmed.
Confirmed.
That's
she
one
loves
thing they
torturing.
They have confirmed.
And I usually say, and bitch, I usually think is a good word. If confirmed, she would be the first female in history to head the CIA. She's been with the CIA for 33 wonderful torturing years, and she's beyond qualified. But what comes as a surprise to no one is she's also shady as fuck.
Okay, so after 9/11 and even prior to that in 2005, she was deeply involved in the capture and torture of terrorists. That in and of itself may not be a deal breaker, especially after 9/11 when tensions were high.
Yeah.
As Obama's previous nominee, John Brennan, was also involved in the same exact torture program as Gina Haspel, okay? And he got voted through the Senate with flying colors. So he was confirmed easily by many of the same senators that are objecting to Gina Haspel, senators like John McCain, Bernie Sanders, and Rand Paul.
Right. Well, right. The deal breakers are, however, one.
Okay.
Trump, obvs, of course, they don't trust anyone he's nominating because he only nominates candidates that serve his mysterious bottom line and not the country at large. And he has found every fucking horrible woman that has ever lived and will be like a, you know, what do you call that? What do you
having
call
nothing to do with her being a woman. He every nominee he has is strange and bizarre and doesn't make sense.
Horrible.
And,
I know. And right, but just, I'm just saying for me personally, you want... You think on paper a woman could be the first. It was just like with Sarah Palin. Oh, great. The first female this, that, everything. But no, she couldn't be worse. And this person couldn't be fucking worse. And you think, and as a feminist and as a person who loves women, you want the women to be good. But then he's the one to find the disgusting women. Not only was she involved
This is two.
Not only was she involved in the torture program as a woman, she is described as, quote, an enthusiastic supporter and participant, end quote, in torture interrogation, which is obviously unsettling. She literally ran a CIA prison in Thailand in 2005 where they kept and tortured people. She ran it.
Who can run a... Okay, keep going.
I mean, I'm...
Just keep going.
Three. Yes, this list is this long. After the CIA was busted for illegally torturing people and funding secret torture prisons with taxpayer money, Gina Haspel was ordered by her boss to destroy all the taped evidence of the torturing. Okay? So one might think, your boss tells you to do something, you do it. Especially in the CIA. Edward Snowden didn't do it, and look what happened.
That's right. And exactly. Edward Snowden didn't do it. She did. She destroyed hundreds of hours of tapes after years of the White House declining the CIA's request to destroy said tapes. Literally told not to do it by the president, and she went on ahead and did it anyway. Now, I'm quite sure she's part of some secret boys club where, like, George W. Bush says not to destroy the tapes to the public and then goes to her and tells her secretly to go ahead and destroy them. Because let's not forget that George Bush Sr. was also the head of the CIA at some point. Mm-hmm. So those motherfuckers are deep in the game. So I'm not saying that she wasn't ordered to destroy the tapes by the actual president. And fine, she destroyed them. But now, no one in the Senate wants a member of the deep state Illuminati good old boys club to head the CIA, especially when that good old boy is a fucking woman.
So disappointing.
So, no. Vote no. Check no.
Stamp. No, hang up. No, Gina. No, hey, what's that? What's the Martin thing? Like, hey, Gina.
Damn, Gina. Damn, Gina. Oh, we could go so many Martin gifts right here.
Damn, Gina. Yeah, I mean... It's just so disappointing. I'm just, it's just so gross.
Of course it is.
And so gross.
The grotesque Republicans want to have like troll feminism where they want to shame everyone who doesn't want to vote for a woman.
Oh, how would you not want a woman and all that
bullshit? And it is disappointing. And I want to say like psychologically, so the vote is Wednesday, which is tomorrow. If you're listening to this, the day it comes out. Psychologically, it is hard. I was like, Julie and I have this favorite feminist. Julie has a million, but I like Megan Murphy. I actually didn't look up Julie Bindel, but... Both of them don't live in America, so they're probably not as invested. Right. And so they haven't really weighed in. I like looked on their social media and they haven't weighed in on this actual thing. But I did read a few articles on like the troll feminism and stuff. But I know without even having read an article that whether it's genderism or sexism or whatever it is in our own minds, it's the way understanding that men, you know, think about basketball and titties and women want to like snuggle and wash animals and play with babies and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and probably think about titties. It's like she, I think it bothers us. I think we can compartment, as women, I think we can compartmentalize men being involved in very violent acts like that. And when you hear about a woman being involved, it stops you up short because as women, we just don't, we can be hardcore and we have been. And certainly when you're defending your own baby, I'm sure, I doubt she lost her infant baby in 9/11 or even a loved one. However, right. if she's on some kind of revenge mission, then Julie will jump right on her side. Well, but I don't think it's personal for her. And it's been said a million times that she enthusiastically participated in it. When they took it away, she didn't want to take it away. She wants it back even now. The bitch loves coming in and torturing people. She's got a weird look in her eye. And I don't think we like to look at women. It's like, the godmother, the cocaine lady that's called the godmother.
Yes.
When you come across a hardcore woman, she scares even men. And we don't really get down with that.
Because you don't understand where it comes from.
It's really, it's not one of us.
Sad?
It's not one of
and
us.
And that's sad. First of all, that's a very sad statement about men. And secondly, it's even, it's so, I have a very, personally, just I can say for me personally, I have a confusing personal relationship with torture. And I do not
hate it. I think
a
lot of people do. Of course not.
So,
of course not. I like the death penalty. And of course, after 9/11, you want people to be fucking waterboarded. They don't even die or anything. But it's different than that. It's different.
Yes.
You can walk around a Thailand prison and be like, I own this shit. Like, fucking, God damn, that bitch is too much.
Yeah, it's too much. So that's where it, but, and that's why people are like, you can't have the death penalty and you can't have torture. Because exactly because of this reason. But I'm still sort
of like. And because
of
John McCain, and even if.
Right.
Who was tortured. And even if you tell yourself, Like, those people did what they did, and we need the information. And but then you think of John McCain. What you expect from a woman? I'm fine with having men go in and fucking shut down and compartmentalize and do the torturing and do whatever. But when you think of a woman, I expect her to be able to, and as I would expect a better woman than me, to walk in there and be able to empathize with another human being yes. who's loyal to another set of people
yes.
who don't believe they're wrong,
right.
who are doing something for a reason.
Right.
And loyalty is also a good quality. And even though what they were doing was against us, women should be able to empathize.
And shouldn't a woman be able to be more manipulative and not use... Listen... I know from personal experience that it doesn't take torture and it doesn't take violence to get what you fucking want.
Yeah,
that's right. One look in the eye and you could get what you fucking want. So, and I don't even need to know. I mean, come on. So
yeah.
with the right, a woman, and especially if you're dealing with people who can't even be in the same room with a woman, there's not much you need to do.
Yeah.
You just can't even fucking, touch another woman.
Yeah, just go grind on his lap for 2 minutes with his hands tied behind his
seriously,
back.
Seriously, or just walk in and reveal your fucking ankles. Show yeah. your face. And you would probably be able to get some information. I mean, call me crazy, but like, I would think that you would want women, you would, women should hold themselves to a higher standard, even though men should too, but okay. A woman needs to be able to hold herself to a higher standard, and she should be able to get more, I would think. And I don't know. I just think that they should be more, a little more manipulative.
So the John Voight is Wednesday. And like we talked about in the last segment, Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly and West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who are both Democrats, have said now that they will vote for Haspel because they are looking to like lose their seat. And they're right in the middle of Trump country and they want to get those votes. So they're now going to vote for her. So there's a few Republicans also, like I said, John McCain, Rand Paul, and Bernie Sanders, I guess he's independent, who aren't going to vote for her. So it's no one really knows exactly which way it's going
to
go.
What happened to her? I wonder what happened to her. I always wonder what happened to a woman who gets
that. Oh, I'm sure she suffered abuse. And even though this might not be personal, she's
taking out like whatever issues she has.
I definitely think she's a psychopath because a sociopath is a nonviolent psychopath. It's right. somebody with no conscience.
Right.
Or a psychopath is a violent sociopath. I think she's a sociopath. She's obviously violent. I think she's yeah. a psychopath. I think she's found a way to legally do it. And for that, slow clap. But you're not going to be the head of the CIA, bitch. So keep it pushing. And I don't need it. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like I told you this because this was a while ago, weeks ago, that he put her up, that he fired Tillerson, moved over, what's his name, and then nominated her, and right away I was like, he knows. I feel like I told you, he knows she's never gonna pass, and he put her up there so that he can sit there and make every woman senator, every Democrat right. vote no on her, and he's gonna sit there on his high horse and be like, "What, you guys? I thought she wanted a woman.
Right.
I knew. I was like, you had to put up this controversial of a person. There wasn't one other person in there that wasn't controversial. No, you knew you'd put up someone who wouldn't pass, might not even pass if." She was a man because she destroyed all that evidence. John Brennan didn't right. destroy any evidence.
Right.
And so it's like, it's all a complete and utter political move. And it's so dumb. I'm not going to be shamed.
No, absolutely not. I don't even feel. No, of course not.
But
no.
They are. They're being shamed left and right.
Of course they are. And Democrats and people can't. And they can't fight back correctly. And that's also pathetic. You know what I mean?
And they ask Kamala Harris, like, even on the news, not just instantly, like, well, you voting no for her, but you would have voted yes for Obama. She's like, I wasn't here for Obama's nominee, and I don't know what I would have done. And get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, and
I don't like this person.
Right.
Like, what?
I just, their game is just so gross, and they play it. They just, nobody plays as dirty as these Trump people.
Okay, so now we're going to leave the ladies' room, but don't be sad.
Okay.
Because we're going to go visit another special lady. Yeah. In a moment with Melania. Как же так случилось, я не знаю. Стала я с тобой совсем ручная. А чего мое сердечко тает? Стоп, куда же я иду? So even though First Lady Melania Trump isn't big on public speaking, she's been very outspoken about her love for children and her desire to protect them.
Yeah.
Last Monday, in a televised speech from the White House Rose Garden, where they send every lady to do every Melania officially announced the launch of her children's initiative, Be Best.
Be Best.
Mm-hmm. focused on three main pillars: ensuring their mental and physical well-being, harnessing their social media use for good, and protecting them from opioid addiction. Lucky for us, Melania is here to go through her speech and share with us some of her deeper thoughts on her campaign, as well as how she was feeling that day. Hi, Melania.
Hello, Brandy. I felt wonderful how I was that day. I look so good. Did you watch speech?
I saw a little bit of it, but I'm looking forward to hearing it now. You always look beautiful, of course.
Thank you. Thank you. I really put together for Rose Garden because I knew people were being there. I had like 12 people in the audience. You can hear them clap. Very
slow. So you weren't
slow.
Nervous, even though you don't seem like you really feel that comfortable public speaking?
I was a little shaky. You'll hear it. But before I play speech, I want to play for you the wonderful commercial they make for me. Before speech, I come out, they show this video.
It's like introducing your new campaign is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's introducing the campaign.
Okay.
So I'd like to play it for you.
Okay.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
I'm asking you all to join me today and commit to promoting values such as encouragement, kindness, compassion, and respect in our children.
My voice needs
with
to be
those
higher,
values as a solid foundation, our kids will be better equipped to deal with many of the evils in our world today.
Including your husband.
In my year as First Lady, I have also learned that it's oftentimes after a tragedy that you see.
Like your husband getting nominated.
This is moving, Brandy, listen.
I have been heartened to see children across this country using their voices to speak out and try
against your husband
to create change. They're our future and they deserve a voice. I receive many letters from children who have been bullied.
I received two letters.
Or feel threatened.
Both from Baron.
On social media. I'm here with one goal: helping children and our next generation. And I believe that if we all come together, we can start to affect positive change for our children.
See how moving the music
is? Much of my focus has been towards understanding the negative effects the opioid epidemic is having on our children and young mothers. I have seen firsthand both the medical and personal results. And while this crisis has taken hold of our country, the American people have responded. I'm proud of this administration's commitment to battling this epidemic. I want to nurture and protect the most valuable part of our society and our future, children. I hope you will join me today in my efforts and ask for your support. And I believe together we can make a real difference.
It goes and then it ends and I walk out.
Okay.
And 12 people stand up as they clapping.
Basically, but probably just your staff.
It's my staff and some people we invited to come.
Oh, okay.
Because we had some people come that we invited I speak about in my speech. And it's beautiful, Brandy. It was a beautiful day. We have to help the children. We have to focus on the children or people will die in wars that my husband is going to start, you know.
Good afternoon. Oh. Welcome to the White House.
Mm. See how strong I speak at the beginning?
As a mother and as first
lady. As a mother, I love to talk about being mother, right? Mm-hmm. You know I'd love to do that.
First lady, it concerns me that in today's fast-paced and ever-connected world, children can be less prepared to express or manage their emotions and oftentimes turn to forms of destructive or addictive behavior such as bullying,
that damn
drug
plane.
Addiction, or even suicide.
So, you know, this is very important because children turn to bullying, drugs, and other things to do.
Like suicide.
Suicide. Sometimes my speech pattern goes to a weird tempo.
I was wondering if that's because you speak so many languages. Because your grasp of the English language, I would think, with all due, would be much, much better if you've been living here quite a while now. But you speak like nine languages.
There are too many critical issues facing children today. So the three main pillars of Be Best will include well-being, social media use, and opioid abuse.
All three things my husband loves to do, you know. So we thought that we would hit on them to be best. Be best opioid use, be best bullying, be best... What's the other thing? Suicide. Don't kill yourself or do, I don't know. But
no, it was mental and physical well-being.
Mental and physical well-being, for example, health.
Is be best a thing you can say in a sentence? Like, how would I use that in a full?
You must be best, you. You must be best. You should be best. I think even the title Be Best might not be correct.
I think
English.
It needs to be the best.
But I'm not totally sure. I don't know who let it pass to be best. It's sort of like
I don't think it's
when someone who doesn't speak the English says something to you, but it's not totally correct.
And it's like, and if the saying was actually English correct and it was be the best, then that would just almost seem like a different campaign, wouldn't it?
It's like USA number one.
Exactly.
We number one. We number one. You be best. You be best. It's like, imagine yelling that
be
to group
the
of
best.
Kids.
Be the
but
best.
But now imagine yelling to kids, group, whole auditorium of kids. Be best. Be best. Be best. You don't entirely know what to do because the words aren't really totally right.
Exactly.
Let us teach our children the difference between right and wrong and encourage them
it's to a good
be
idea.
Best.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good idea.
In life.
We have not done with anyone in Trump administration. Clearly not one of them knows difference. Actually, they do know difference between right and wrong, but they just go to do wrong.
Take, for example, Christian Bucks, a young man
this is
from
moving.
York. Pennsylvania, who is here with us today. Mm. When he was in second grade, Christian introduced the body bench at his elementary school.
His elementary school. Now, at his elementary school, he brought up the body bench. Now, here's
important. I don't even
important.
Understand what any of it means.
So Christian Begonding came to a White House to talk about the body bench. Now, this is very good idea. And I think for many children, they could use it. Basically, they put a bench in the place where they play, you know, outside. And then the one child sit on the bench when they don't have no friends. And then the other children come and they go, oh, look at this loser. He don't have no friends.
Body bench. I thought it was body
ooh,
bench.
The body
bench. I was like, what is this? Like a you lay down, it's like a weight bench?
Yeah, you lay down, it's a body bench.
I thought it was a body bench, I swear. I see body bench.
Yeah, body. You know, we're going to be bodies.
Okay. And then loser the bodies, bench, a.k.a. loser bench.
Yeah, so that they come to the... So then all the children come and they go, we are going to be bodies, which we know is exactly how children are on the playground.
They're so benevolent.
They love to see when one child had no friends, then they go, we're going to be friends too.
I think that a lot of people like in my neighborhood must think, our neighborhood is filled with buddy benches because when I simply sit down to get on my phone and do something, I get a lot of buddies that want to sit on down and chat.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, Brandy? I think maybe that's good point that we put the you know who think I think every boy thinks every that he man. Can sit on the bench with you. I know, I feel that too. You know, good point, Brandy. Good point. Every bench I sit on too, I always have lots of buddies. They start talking at me, asking me for things. That's a good point, Brandy. It should be called the man bench. You're right.
Rethink I'd also this like whole to talk campaign. About Orchard Lake Middle School in West Bloomingfield Township, Michigan.
West Bloomingfield Township, Michigan. By the way, you can't give me any place. Give me any place with name, I tell you. You know, I know Julie, she's from Lexington, Massachusetts.
State
of Massachusetts, near Boston.
I visited the school in October as part of National Bullying Prevention Month to speak to the students about the importance of being kind. While I was there, I visited their Viking huddle class.
Now, I get confused with my own self here because let me keep playing because I think she said, I think I had said, but now I'm not sure, a Viking huddle class.
I thought she said Viking huddle.
Focuses on social emotional learning and teaches lessons about respecting others, inclusion, and being kind. As part of Be Best, I plan to highlight ideas and programs such as Buddy Bench and Viking Huddle Class.
It's Walking Huddle Class.
Walking Huddle Class? Who?
Or Walking, it can't be Cuddle Class. I'd be gross if kids cuddle. I think it's Walking Huddle Class.
Well, to be honest with you, I even look up my own self and I don't know what I said. So I'm saying I think it's Viking cuddle class that we dress up like Vikings and we go, boonda, boonda, I am like a Viking. Then we go cuddle, cuddle, cuddle. Now we best friends. That's what I think it might be. But if you think that it's walking, walk, 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 then cuddling.
No, huddle.
Huddle. Walking and huddling.
Yeah, you huddle. You'd be like, yeah, we're... Good, awesome.
Right.
Shit like that. Put your hands in. Yay.
Yay. Not
friends.
Bullying.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We are fat. Okay. So let's see.
I hope that other schools or community groups will be inspired to replace their efforts and take steps to improve the well-being of our children.
I want to put all of these things into all the schools, though. So we have Viking huddle class, walking huddle class, and buddy bench in all the different schools. And that way, all the bullying, the killing, the suicide, it all ends with the buddy bench and the Viking huddling.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. And people want to know, well, you know, social media, you need to be kind, no bullying. And that's why my husband loves all of this because he thinks it's he agrees. He wants people to be kind because there's great love in this country. You know.
We have invited some of the Viking huddle class here today.
The Viking huddle class came to the Rose Garden. I still don't know who they are.
Were they all Norwegians or what?
Yeah, they wore big helmets. You know?
As we all know, social media can be both positively and negatively.
Oh, they can.
I think we know. I think we know.
But too often it used in negative ways.
Isn't that funny how the Twitter can be used in negative ways? I wonder where could we find an example in a child's school of Twitter being bad.
I thought
someone.
You were kind of giving a wink, wink there. Like, as we all know.
As we all know, my husband is piece of shit. And I wish we'd divorce.
I thought that it was the subtext there.
Here's my dream to do in year 3.5 of my husband's presidency. I'm going to give speech.
God willing, it's not that long.
Or towards whatever. Maybe when he go to jail.
Okay.
I give speech. Mm-hmm. And I go, hi, everybody. Thank you for coming to Rose Garden. I'm, first of all, this is my boyfriend. His name is Edgar. And he and I have been together for 14 years. And we are very excited. He's the real father of Baron.
Ooh.
And I also have 3 other children I've kept secret for all this time. We are going to take half of my husband's money and we are moving. And I want to tell all of America to go fuck yourself. It's for talking shit about me, for making me feel like shit just because I'm gold digger, just because I came here as hooker. Whatever. I do me. You do you.
Exactly.
Maybe I wear a wig. Maybe I wear a fall. It's up to me. It's not up to you. Then I say, we're taking my family, my four kids and my boyfriend, and we get the fuck out of here and moving. You know where we're going to move to? Australia, where my boyfriend's from.
That's great. So it was lovely talking to you, Melania.
Brandy,
thank
as
you
always,
so much.
I love talking with you. I love seeing beautiful other women. I love hearing your dulcet voice. It's so beautiful. I don't get to hear or see any beauty when I'm at home. Only when I go to see children, I see some cuteness. But I never see any beauty. But thank you so much.
Okay, now it's time for So There's That. Okay, this is the part of the show where Julie has to find something that's happening because of, or perhaps to, this administration that is positive. Our heroic unpaid intern, Jesse, who can be found at Aran Aro on Twitter, sent Julie like 10 great things. So this bitch better have something good for us. And if you're a fan of Jesse at Aran Aro, he will be doing a live Gay Guys and Their Feelings at our live podcast in Portland. So come out and meet him and give him some love in place of all the dollars we don't and never will pay him. He does a lot of hard work and like for us and finds a lot of things. So let's see if Meow Meow used any of his suggestions on her So There's That for this week.
Well, I want to thank Aran Aro also. I want you always beat me to the because you know me so well. I want to thank Aran Aro for handling this week's So There's That. This week was so fucked up. I thought this week's So There's That was that. Due to getting some sort of pistachio disease on the road, I haven't eaten for 2 days, and so I've jump-started my new diet. So there's that. But Aran has come to the rescue again. Those of you who listen are probably too young to remember a certain little daytime talk show called The Jenny Jones Show.
Mm.
It was one of the powerhouse daytime talk shows back in the 90s.
There was many, too.
There were, but Jenny Jones was one of my personal faves. She was in the 90s giving a gossip-mongering relationship, but he cheated on me. I took your man type of show. Well, Jenny had started out as a comedian,
in case you were wondering. I didn't know that.
And for all intents and purposes, she really was a friend of the gays. And in the 90s, you know.
Yeah, there weren't many friends.
There weren't many friends. She taped a show where a young man surprised another man, telling him he had a crush on him. The two were friends, but the straight one didn't know the gay one was gay or that he had a crush on him. And that was the whole show was surprise, I have a crush on you. But it was generally straight ones.
Yeah.
And this was the first gay one. This was like the first gay one on fucking national television. Well, apparently this information sent the straight one over the edge into such a panic, he shot and killed the gay one 2 days after the taping of the show.
This was a big, 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 huge, huge story.
Right. But according to him, Jonathan Schmitz, I believe is his name, not only did he kill him after the taping of the show, he also shared a sexual encounter with him. So there's that. No, the show was never aired, but the trial and the case were very high profile news. The man, rather than getting first degree premeditated cold blooded murder, got second degree murder and was let out of prison last year. His defense? Gay panic. Yep. Gay panic is a real legal defense. And I Googled him, by the way, to see a picture of him because I wanted to see a picture of the killer. And let me tell you something, motherfucker gay. Just look at a picture of him. The gay panic defense.
Gay panic, also known as I'm gay. Yeah,
exactly. That's why I'm panicking. I'm panicking because I'm gay. Yeah, right. The gay panic defense is a real defense used in court legally and has been used globally and successfully for years. The data is inconclusive when it comes to actual numbers, but the consensus is that it is used and that it works. Just last month, a 69-year-old man in Austin, Texas, received a very light sentence of 6 months in jail and 10 years probation for fatally stabbing a 32-year-old neighbor who allegedly came on to him. Okay? You got that? The judge added the maximum of 6 months jail time.
If that were the case, couldn't we just stab every single man that got a little too handsy?
Okay, so thank
Actually,
you.
Actually, I had man panic. He was a little too fucking handsy.
Oh my God, I got that in here! Oh my God. What's...
I said, clearly Gloria Allred and women's groups aren't really paying attention because women could be using the man panic defense and killing everyone, y'all. Okay?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't work anyway because sexism. But that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
So
that offends me just like the thing with what's her face with Bill Cosby. Like it's so.
It's beyond.
Poor gay people, man. It's beyond. You guys have really gotten the fucking.
So my angel and gentleman extraordinaire, Ranaro, sent me an article from The Guardian yesterday, which led me down a gay panic rabbit hole. And the good news is this. After decades of gay panic defense in court, the U.S. states slowly begin to ban the tactic. Texas, you, however, are exempt from this discussion. From what I've read, and clearly just last month, you used it.
Of course not.
The actual gay panic defense, including you still have the offense of homosexual conduct on your penal code. So you can suck a bag of dicks in the gayest of ways. California became the first state to outlaw the gay panic defense in 2014.
No surprise.
And a prohibition in Illinois went into effect at the start of this year. Bans have been advocating or formally proposed in states including Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Georgia, Washington, New Jersey, and New York. Anthony Michael Kreiss, a professor at Chicago Kent College of Law who was involved in drafting the Illinois bill, is calling the phase we're in a slow drip. So, you know, I, for one, love slow drip coffee, even though I hate waiting for it. It really is delicious and gives me the biggest kick in the morning. I don't know how long it'll take or if people will ever truly be over their gay panic, but this does give us a little hope that at the end of the day, any unwanted advances sexually from anyone we're not interested in is just gross.
Yeah.
And men better start getting on board the gross sexual advance train that women have been managing their whole fucking lives for thousands of fucking years. And I hope we're entering a time where the gross and annoying playing field is at least level. And we can all agree, regardless of what your sexual preference is, getting hit on by anyone at any time of any sexual preference is both flattering and disgusting.
Yeah.
So there's that. So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
If you haven't yet, go over and listen to the two free podcasts at www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. It's an ad-free, uncensored, no politics zone. If you like the free episode, sign up for $1 an episode.
That's right. That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
So a lot of people think it's worth it. Like 3 or 4 really, really think it's worth it.
I mean, yeah, exactly. We got a really great message on our Dumb Gay Politics Facebook page, and I wanted to read it because it really did move both of us.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was an important
came in massage. Today, and it was like, oh, really beautiful.
It's from Sarah Wybright, I think, or Wybright. I'm sorry if I don't pronounce your name correctly. I'm not entirely sure. Sarah Wybright? Wybright. I'm not sure. Dear Julie and Brandy, I don't normally reach out to strangers this way, but wanted to take a second to let you both know how much you mean to me. I like to consider myself listener 15 of both the Patreon podcast as well as Dumb Gay Politics. I've been a fan since People's Couch. In December of 2016, I lost my best friend to breast cancer. She was only 29 years old. It was a very dark time, and I miss her more with every day that passes. She was Julie to my Brandy and Brandy to my Julie. The two of you really got me through the darkest months after she passed and still do to this day. I can always count on you to make me smile. Thank you for that. Keep doing what you're doing because it really is a bright spot in my life and I'm sure countless others. I appreciate the time you give and the humor you share. I hope one day to catch one of Julie's shows if she ever makes it to Ohio. Much love, Sarah.
It's just so sweet. And even just knowing from People's Couch to just doing this stupid thing, like for somebody to say that is like, I don't know. It's just like makes you feel like, oh, okay, well, this was not all for naught. I know it certainly wasn't for money, Sarah. So, and I have to say, even though she called herself the 15th, number 15, I think she might actually be one of the original 14 since she started listening around December 2016. And that's when we first started the podcast. So, and you listened to, and you watched People's Couch. So thank you so much, Sarah. Obviously we're like, sorry to hear about your friend. That's truly fucking awful. And just know you're not alone, and there's a lot of people everywhere in the world, and also a lot of people listening to this podcast that suffer from feelings of loss every single day, and that kind of stuff sticks with you. Mm-hmm. And you know, stay strong and know that while you're listening, other people are too. And we're also just totally like unhappy and depressed and want to kill ourselves. So know that. And I'm happy that you're with us and we're with you and have been for now over a year.
That's right.
Together.
That's right. Wow. God. Maybe we'll have a anniversary party for everybody. We should have a.
I mean, it's well over a year. We're going to come up on two. Well, you know, it's been a year and a half.
We should all celebrate Valentine's Day together.
That's already everyone passed on the podcast. Well.
Well, next year.
Okay.
Well, thank you again. Yeah, that was.
Do you
really
want to promote any of your shows?
I'm going to start promoting now that I'm going to be in New York with Brad Locally on June 7th and 8th at the Laurie Beachman Theater. So everyone needs to come out to
y'all
that.
Y'all heard Brad on the air.
Yeah, and he's great, and it'll be a fun show, he and I together. We're doing two shows, June 7th and 8th, and then June 9th I'm going to be in Asbury Park at the Paradise, and I'm doing, this is going to be my fourth year, I think, doing the Twin Peaks comedy show for The Cure. I work with this nurse, and she gives money, and she gives free mammograms and raises money for Planned Parenthood, and it's just a really great cause, and she's a really great person, and the work she's doing there, and specifically for LGBT people, and it's just pretty awesome. So June 7th and 8th in New York at the Laurie Beachman Theater, and June 9th at the Paradise in Asbury Park. Please come to that.
And as always, it's been real and it's been fun,
but mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
Babbage.
Damn, Gina.
Good one.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause.
but not the symptom.